roundup show, and this is it for the next hour. We will be talking, I suppose we could, we're going to be talking about Gordon's new project. And I think what we will talk about, if we can as well, because of what's happened in the last week and a bit, is a little bit around with what happened to Mr. Carlisle and stuff around that sort of side as well. Because I think that's sort of a real sort of topical conversation as well. But I know that you've started off, and we'll start off with you, with what's, what you've been doing in the last few months and so forth. But I know through... personally now. Well,
you know, your daughter, yeah. And by the way, I do want to say, you know, Heather Square is a fantastic photographer. I'm not just saying that because it's your daughter, Dave, I'm not going to lie, but the shots that she got on our photo shoot just recently proves the fact, and she does everything for Harlow Town as well, and you can see it on the website there, so she's very gifted, and I can see her having a long career doing that. And I'm not, as I said, I'm not saying that because that's your daughter. If she was average, I would have said, oh, she's okay. But she's really, really good, and I'm glad that she's part of us now.
Well, thank you. But and it is, of course, is it, do we say YOLO United?
Yeah, so we have YOLO UK, which is the actual reality show, but we have the sister side, which is YOLO United, which is the football side, where they play for community projects, young offenders projects, programs, sorry, play for charities, you know, up and down the country and abroad as and when required, you know. And I think because we've got a team made up of reality TV people that everybody watches nowadays, as well as ex-professionals and ex-semi-professional players that people know of, just to come up and raise as much money as they possibly can for whatever cause is necessary. And and Keith, you would know, obviously, where your club needs that. Sometimes you have that day on a Sunday where you try to get ex-professionals to come down, yeah, and play and raise money for football clubs. And that's one of the biggest things that we are doing more for grassroots football. Mm. And that's the project we now have with Mark Hall Sports Centre in Harlow, which obviously, Dave, you would know, there with Andy Smith, who obviously, shame he can't be on today, but obviously he could have spoke more about what we're doing there to give something back to the community, because we don't want to lose the element of grassroots football. And I think, you know, we've all come through that ranks. I have, you know, before being a professional and being a manager like Keith here, you know, in non-league and in the conference and stuff like that. So I think from that point of view, it's all about giving something back. That's the big thing with what YOLO United is about. So, you know, having your daughter on board, who is someone young as well, we're like saying, we're giving people a chance to show her talent. And the show is more like that as well. We've got a lot of people that people recognise from Big Brother, X Factor, and all these other reality shows that people watch nowadays. But as well as up-and-coming people that want to be presenters and want to be actors and actresses and in the music world as well.
Mm. And I know, I mean, how did it go? So was that the first game? Was it? Was that the first game?
That was the first game. For we launched it. Myself and Victor launched it. Who's in Big Brother, by the way, or was in Big Brother, so everyone knows him for that. We launched it just at the end of last year, 2014. We decided that we was going to go in January to do this going forward because we felt that we wanted to give something back, as I said, primarily, first and foremost, to grassroots football. That was the first aim that we was looking at from a community project, because we feel all of these kids aspire to be football players. Mm. But at the same time, if they're not football players, they want to be actors, they want to be actresses and stuff like that. So they all watch TV, so they will recognise the people we have. And for us, it was just about, as I said before, giving something back, which was the most fundamental thing. But primarily, I wanted to get people involved that was passionate about helping others and giving people a platform to show their skills, really. And to be fair, we've not got too many bad football players. Some boys there have played semi-professional at a good level. Some have played at Ryman level. And step five.
No, it's good. Is it just elemented just in one community, or have you sort of branching
out? No.
Out, or
we're branching out. Our home ground actually is at Mark Hall Sports Centre. So right, whenever anything we do within the local area around, let's just say Essex, you know, yeah, our games will be based. If it's a home game, it will be based at Mark Hall. Otherwise, when people book us, we will go anywhere.
So when you're putting it back into grassroots football, well, say grassroots, it doesn't have to be football.
Yeah.
How are you doing that? Are you letting people come to you? You're setting things up for them? Or
that's correct. So we have like fun days. We have little coaching sessions with qualified coaches and stuff like that on the day. So all the money that's raised goes back in to the grass, so that enables the sports team. Football Fund for All, basically, is what they set up at Mark Hall Sports Centre. So okay. if they wanted it, like, for instance, it doesn't have to be Essex, but we are based in Essex currently. But if you said, for instance, Thames Mead, Kent, you wanted us in Kent, we'll do exactly the same thing there.
That's good. Is it, are you, with the fundraising, are you setting it for certain ages, or is it just, you know, for everyone to come?
It's for everyone. I think the most important thing, what we're trying to say is, you know, we want it to be not just boys, girls, all football, you know, and, you know, we incorporate the adults as well. And, you know, we're doing things now with walking football, which is one of the biggest
things at the moment. Yeah. Seen it,
you know, so we're doing a lot of projects now with walking football just to, you know, show people that there's a different element. And that's another good one for training. So if any coaches and managers are watching, get your teams doing that. Because obviously I did that prior before while I was at Bishop Stortford and other clubs within, you know, non-league football. Mm. You know, we tried that and it's not easy. And I tried it and I was thinking, you know, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And you just want to run because you're used to running.
You take it for granted.
So when you've got it at your feet, it is literally you've got to walk, pass, move, pass, move. But you can't really jog or run.
Yeah.
Which is not as easy as you think it is.
And of course, I mean, I think somebody, when you say you're doing it a bit for the adults as well, I think some of the adults would have been well placed if they'd have turned up for the first home game, wouldn't they?
Oh, definitely. I think first and foremost, obviously, the turnout was good. You know, we had people there. Your wife was there as well, you know. I hope she wasn't ill because it was a very, very cold day, by the way. Obviously, lovely lady. So mention to, is it Linda?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, Linda.
I hear and saw pictures as well, and my daughter was saying, Dad, she said, you'd have loved it, she said. You should have seen all these women that were over there that seemed part of the thing.
Yeah. Again, we have some of the girls from the show. So you had Vicky, you had Melody, and you had Natalie Parry. So they're actually part of the show, and they was in kit, you know, looking the part. Gorgeous girls, obviously.
I've seen bits and bobs on your Facebook about it. So just explain to me, someone sitting there on the outside, obviously it's a reality show that's now a reality football team, is that correct?
Right, so we have the reality show per se, which is just a reality show, which is similar to both Made in Chelsea and TOWIE.
Okay.
The structure of the show, showing people's lives, the ups, the downs, what actually happens. Mm. But then we've incorporated the football because that's obviously my background and a lot of the people that's involved all love football and some of them wanted to be football players. So we decided to incorporate that into it. And obviously when you watch shows, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I would like that person from this show and that. But we have everybody in our show and we incorporate people from other reality shows to be part of our team. So we have this show primarily, YOLA UK, but we have YOLA United, which will then be a spin-off show for the reality team as well.
Yeah, but everything you're obviously generating, you're just giving back.
We're giving back. Nothing is going into the team or anything like that. We have people that sponsor us. Everyone sponsors us, but then all that happens is we're giving it back to help other people do what they're supposed to do. Because as I said, we have got the pioneers that are willing to do that, which is the most important thing, because there's a lot of people that like, oh, pay us this and pay us that. Mm. At the end of the day, yes, we're saying we're giving it back, but at the same time, people do cover our expenses for travelling, for instance, which is basics. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, whatever's raised on the day, we don't get a penny for that at all.
That's good.
And that goes back into whatever cause it is, whatever it is.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, is the TV show started or is that coming
up? We're still filming at the minute because we need to tie in, as I said, the football side of things now. And we've just started that, so we're just tying that in and just getting a few loose ends. And by about Easter, then we'll be out. Firstly, you can watch that online, and then I can't say what channel it will be on yet because we need to do the paperwork.
It's a shame you hadn't had your cameras ram following me the last couple of years. The grief I've had to put up with it had been like another film.
You'd
be a rich man with the people watching you at the moment.
But you know, as you know, in the change rooms, Keith, you know, it is pretty much as you would expect. Yeah. You know, we have the banter in there. We have the players trying to think they're all that.
I did the gaffer on with the BBC non-league show for a season. They followed me around, and it is good viewing. If you sit
it
there
is. It is that, and sometimes, and I've always said to people, especially reality TV, you forget the cameras are there.
You do, yeah.
So you have to be very, very careful. Yeah. With what you say, and I'm sure your daughter was there and she probably came home and told you about some of the things that happened in the change room. Nothing negative, but just, you know, a few of the words.
Well, it's quite funny, and I'd speak to a few managers here and ask them to explain, because obviously people listen in, obviously people don't understand the actual banter, the camaraderie that goes into a team changing room.
Oh, 100%.
Not just football, it can be any sport.
Mm. Yeah.
And that is why, especially with the community, the kids need that, because it gives them some sort of thing in life going forward.
Of course, 100%.
And it teaches them a hell of a lot.
It's life skills.
There was a very famous one, weren't there, where they were following the, I can't think of his
Peterborough.
Name. Peterborough. No, Leighton Orient. When they sacked Terry
John Sitton.
At half time, wasn't they? They sacked Terry at half time. And I was actually at that game and wondered why he wouldn't come out for the second half.
Yeah,
but
John
Sitton. That was a really weird one, that was, to see bloke getting sacked at half time in a change room. But
What gone with this? Obviously, you come from your football background, and obviously that's where we met. What made you go into this or start this project?
It's for me, before obviously I had the opportunity to be a football player, I was doing acting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always something that I wanted to do anyway. And then when I had the opportunity to do something like this, but then also to show the other elements, which I'm very, very passionate about. Football always comes first to me.
Yeah, of course.
Always comes first. But at the same time, I have other passions and I felt that I could tie it in together.
Mm.
But I've always been the sort of person with all the work that I do with Kick It Out and stuff, where I want to give something back and inspire people to believe in themselves and do things as well, with obviously the brand, which Dave knows about. I just felt that with Victor, I'm not taking the credit. I don't like when people go, oh, it's all me. It isn't just me. I have a fantastic backroom team of people, production side, and I have to mention them, you know, the likes of Pete Meads, you know, the work that he does is, you know, goes unnoticed. There's a lot of people that make these things happen. It's not just me.
Mm.
So when we all got together and decided that we wanted to do this, we all said, okay, you know, this is the reasons why we're going to do it, and this is the direction we're going to go. It's not about being the biggest thing out there, but it will be as big as it needs to be by the viewers.
But you're making a difference. It's really funny how people look at football, you know, non-league football especially, because we spoke about pro football, and just go, all they're worried about, if say it's a local community, all they're worried about is just the first team, the players out there.
Mm.
You know, they don't know what certain people or clubs do for the community.
Mm.
You know, and Gordon's a prime example of what he's actually putting back into the community. I get a lot of people used to go, well, what, you know, even people that are listening now, know listening to this now, will go, well, they don't do nothing for the community. They don't even look any deeper than the end of their nose to things like this. And I think it's massive. Football changes a lot of people's lives,
100%.
And they look up to other footballers. But if say the youngsters that, you know, that aren't going to be a pro footballer, or maybe not even thought about that, it gives them something to aspire to. And at this level, and I think it's great. And obviously the job you're doing, as well as now the reality TV, you're covering every single base.
Mm.
I think, you know, it's going to take off.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, and that's the key thing. And as I said, you know, we're going back to, you know, giving people the opportunity, because what we're saying as well with some of the projects that we're doing as well, which I've now got with like Life After Football, obviously from a pro perspective.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, because you wanted to touch on that, and we will touch on that as well. But it's just giving people that to know that there is a backup plan. Life doesn't stop.
Of course.
If you're trying to go for something and it's not going to according to plan, look at other options. That's why we say enjoy the sport first. Football, the enjoyment of football's gone out the window nowadays. It's all about win, 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 win. But we are forgetting that we've got so many youngsters that just really want to go out there and enjoy it. They may not be good enough, but they're elite players. Also, we can put enjoyment into elite football.
Yep.
But at the same time, show them to play the right way. And then us as a nation, then we can progress like everybody else. Mm. Because that's what they do. They go, right, enjoy it. The boys that are outstanding, you will go into this section. We'll make it serious, but we'll still make it fun.
No, you're right there. I coach a six-year-old side on a Sunday as well to try and help out that bit. And for me, it's just great fun. And all we're doing is just try and make these kids enjoy football. You know, we're not even going mad. And to be fair, the one thing the FA have done at this age, they've made it, you know, non-competitive in the way where the goalkeeper gets the ball, you've all got to go to the halfway line. They play 2 10-minute halves each, you know, so it's not, you can't get hammered 20-0 as you used to. But, you know, and we just try and make it fun for them. And when you see the smile on their kids' faces, it's great. But well, I'm not going to mention, we played a side on Sunday, and the other team were the complete opposite.
Yeah.
All they wanted to do was win. Their parents wanted to win. And you could see the difference in the two kids' faces.
Mm.
They both come off the pitch. One team had a great grin on their face, dirty. The other team are sort of frustrated.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there thinking, that's the way football was, and that's the way it should be.
And that type of thing of it's going to take time. It's one of those things where it's been put in, but everybody's still got that same mentality as parents, or majority have still got that mentality as parents, as thinking, well, as you just said, win at all costs. They've got to win. I will do. We'll, you know, the FA, sometimes I look at it and I think to myself, well, the FA say, right, we do this, that's it, we solved it. Mm. And then they walk away from it. No, it's not solved, because you get, even like I used to sit there, I was reffing two games at the weekend, you know, and it was the same sort of thing there where it was screaming and shouting because they wanted to score goals and they wanted to score goals. There was one team there at the weekend where they were playing four lots of, say, 20 minutes each way, under eights, in a cup game. So it was a competitive game as such because it was a cup game. But they played this game, and one of these young lads that was playing there was far superior than all the others. Mm. They won the game 10-3. This young lad was, as I said, was just getting hold of the ball and going, dump, 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 bang, dump, 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 bang. And it was like he was taken off the pitch for 4 minutes out of the 40 minutes that they were playing for. And you think to yourself, just take him off.
Yeah,
you don't need to have him on the pitch. You're already winning quite comfortably. Give him 20 minutes off the pitch and give him 20 minutes of playing. Mm. Give the others a more of an opportunity, maybe your weaker players. But you still, I think it's going to take five, 10 years to, once we started getting that and you get to the stage where everybody's playing, everybody started under sevens, when they changed it, gets all the way up to competitive football. So the ones that started under sevens at the beginning, if you know what I'm trying to explain, they that's all they know. We've got to get to that stage, a bit like it was when we went mini soccer. Yeah. It won't work. Mm. But now it's just the norm. Nobody knows about it.
Exactly.
You've
got
to get that complete run of teams that have started doing
non-competitive football. That's only going to work, and this is just touching on what Gordon's doing. It's only going to be work if they've got the coaches to do that. Not the ones that just pass their, you know, all their badges and still got that, you know, you know them. There's loads of them out there. You know, pass a coaching badge and think they know it all. They've got to have that heart, really, or I'll tell you, Gordon said it, and I've got it, the passion. Mm-hmm. They've got to have a passion to give something back. That's and obviously, it. Gordon's got it, I don't mind doing it. You know, there's no better feeling, especially like you manage and you have all your serious bit, your work in your life, seeing some little kid's face after they've done something. Well,
and that's the
key
thing.
It lights you up, and it doesn't 100%. Matter in life.
Mm. Oh. I mean, I do the under sevens, you know, and you'll see them like that, and I'll just watch them for the first sort of, because what they do in the league that I referee in, they do it in, instead of doing 220 minutes, they do it 4 10s. So they do it in 4 10s, and of course, for the first 10 minutes of the game, I just watch, doing my referee, and just watch what's going on. And then when we get to the second 10 minutes, you see them where they're throwing balls from the front of their face, they're throwing balls up here, they're jumping up in the air, and all the rest of it. So there's no points on it, there's no nothing on it. So then what I do is I just get down to them and say, look, blow the whistle, bring it back to where you got to go. I get down on my knees, so I'm at their level, and say, look, when you throw the ball, this is what we need to do, you know, and do this. So with the under sevens, you just concentrate on them basically throwing it from behind the back of the neck, not where their feet are for the time being. Just throw it. And then, you know, you see this young lad sort of look at you and go, thanks, ref. And then you see him bang it against his back of his neck and then throw it. And then you just turn around to him and say, great throw, and you see this big beam come across their face,
and that's it, and that's the key thing. As Keith's already said, you know, is seeing that excitement, that happiness. Mm. That's worth to me. That's worth more than any money you can give me.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference because you now have just changed that kid's life. Mm. That kid goes home, and that kid's happy. And I'm going to use your daughter again as an example. She was like, "Thank you for giving me the opportunity." I think she's quality. Mm. For her to turn around and say thank you for the opportunity, she really enjoyed her day, which was fantastic to see her come down, take the pictures, but go home and be happy about the pictures. Mm. And people will turn around, and I had loads of comments about that photographer's, them photos are fantastic. Mm. Now, no one knew who it was, but people know who she is now.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things when I came out tonight, the last thing she said to me before I left the door, left the house was, make sure you tell Gordon I'm all right for the first game in March. Yeah, okay, mate. All right, no worries. And she said she really enjoyed it. It was one of those things for me where when she was at school, all she wanted to do was be involved with animals. She managed to get through all of her. She had major problems with learning up to a certain age because she had literally two hearing aids up to a certain stage. She then all of a sudden miraculously it healed itself, and which they didn't expect it to do. She got to passed the maths exam at the end of our class. It's the fourth year at senior school. And they said to her, right, now you can either do another lesson or you can actually go out and do just revise for another lesson. And she said, no, I want to do something else. She said she'd do photography. And they said to her, you'll only be able to get a C because you're 18 months behind everybody else. She worked her backside off with this photography, ended up getting an A. And she was so many marks, I think she was about 4 marks off of getting an A merit.
Yeah.
She then got into the Capel Manor College, which is what she's set out to do since she was knee-high to the grasshopper. Mm. She never wanted to do anything else. She threw that away, said, no, I'm not going to do it. and went to Harlow College to do a 2-year course in photography, and came away with A merit, A star. And, you know, at the end of the lessons, and then come over here, does all the photography of the first team, does weddings and other bits and bobs she does. But all she wants to do is be a sports photographer. Mm. And when she got that original email, I was reffing at the time, and she called me and she went, Dad, I've had this. Do you know this gentleman called? And of course, the conversation went on there. And then for about, you know, for a week, 10 days, buzzing. She was just buzzing.
Well, as Gordon said, and I said about, you've got to not just be able to teach, but you've got to give them that passion. And what you said about your daughter, like I said, and I keep mentioning this, the young lad that come through my youth ranks, and like I said, well, there's been many, but younger them at the moment. Every time he come up to me, and I might say, I'm leaving you out, he always, even after the game, thanks, Keith. Thanks for picking me. Thanks for playing me. 16, 17. And it's not just you're giving them, like, again, life skills or whatever, but you're also showing them interest, and they actually took it as a passion. And they're the easiest ones to coach. And you come away and go, yeah. Now, if I was a normal manager and I went to him, if he played bad, right, you ain't no good, sit down, yeah. As you could have done with the photography, that's it, they finished.
Yeah, exactly.
And the young kids today, the football or whatever they do, that's what you've got to do. You've just got to give them a smile. You can't make them sit there and think, lose any confidence, because it's, you know, they will just give playing football up or whatever they've got to do. And if you do let them blossom, and it ain't, you don't need a coaching book for that. Mm. You just need basically
life skill, understand people, yeah, skills.
And that's I think you've got to know people.
And that's one of the biggest things that when I speak about Mark Hall and the fantastic work that Andy Smith's doing there as well. When we sat down and we spoke about the new project that's going to be coming out this year, I can't say too much yet until we do what we have to do. But that is going to be fantastic for the community in the aspect of what we're giving back to the community, you know. And that's all sports, not just football.
Yeah.
Because it's fundamental.
So that's tremendous. And I'm just going back to what I said, and I'm going to keep going on about it because I know they're listening. But, you know, people misunderstand passion for people up their own backsides and think it's all about them. You've got to look at someone like Gordon that's got the passion, like he's done, and you've got to back them. And you've got to go with them and go, they're actually making a difference. Mm-hmm. They're making a difference for people around him, making a difference in their community, and they're giving something back. They're not taking nothing personally. He's not earning millions, thousands, hundreds of pounds. And it's the same, like I said, where I was sitting from, and people need to understand that. And instead of people looking at people going, what's he getting out of it? He's actually going to give them a pat on the back and go, well done. Because as well as what Gordon are doing and what we're trying to do as coaches and whatever for the youngsters, these coaches and people need that as well. They need encouragement, because sometimes he's going to sit there and have a bad time and go, I need a bit of help here, and I'm doing all this work and it ain't happening. And he's something to come up and go, Gordon, look what you've done here. It's brilliant. And it'll give him the other benefit to make, again, another someone else like your daughter, what he's done, and other people from.
Mm. And that's one of the key things there. It's not about the credit. I don't go to people and go, oh, what do you think of what I'm doing?
Yeah.
I didn't just wake up. I just thought about it and I thought, well, what is missing? What do we need to do? What happened to me when I was a youngster? Yeah. And that was one of the key things, I think, what spurred it on for me, because, yes, I came through the football system of, you know, and it was win, 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 win. And I had the mentality, and like probably most of the boys,
drive.
But most of the boys that are probably listening to it now, and some of the Harlow boys, because I was at Harlow as assistant manager there as well, it was about winning, because we had to get results for a promotion when we got to Ryman Premier and stuff like that. Mm. We was like, you know, it is about winning, winning, winning. But
the way you were with them as an individual in the changing room wasn't. It's only when you're there as a manager, it is. But you're still a person, you're a people's person, and that's what you need to be.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, one of the key things we're saying now, with the show as well, we are saying we're giving people the opportunity to go out there, especially some of the people that we've got in the show now that haven't done reality TV or whatever. This is their chance to be seen. Because everybody, some people want to just have the limelight, but we have some genuine people who just want to go out there, make a difference and be role models, but genuine role models.
Yeah. Mm.
And they're the people that are going to be successful.
So you're just giving them that platform, which is
exactly that.
So I mean, when was it that Victor was on Big Brother then?
He was,
I remember
on
him being
it,
on it, but
he was on it from, was it 2005, 2007, I think, Ultimate Big Brother in 2010. So, and he's one of the most recognised Big Brother contestants ever. And they love him. And his following is just immense. But he's a very, very humble guy. As much as he's a comedian, but he is very, very humble. And he's a big pioneer for giving other people a chance. Because he was a very, very good football player. But girls, drink. No, and that's the truth.
Women have got a lot of answers.
And that's what done it.
Drink
for him
hasn't, because, by the way.
So now where he plays now, he's enjoying it and he's loving it. Yeah. And at the end of the day, with our team, he goes, you know what? I'll sit out, give that person a chance to play.
That's the sort of person.
And that's what it's all about. And myself, so everyone's like, why don't you play? Because I play, but then I don't play as much. And I don't manage in the same way I would manage a normal side. I'll manage it in a different way where I'm like, go out there, enjoy it, have fun, and that's it. And that's the talk that we give them.
Yeah. I suppose one of the things I was supposed to ask, I was quite surprised that when you played the team you played in your first game, that I bet the back chat from the opposing manager must have been horrendous.
You know what?
I've just got that feeling it probably was, because Wade. I know it was. And
he's a good lad. To be fair, you know what it was. It was a lot of banter, and it's
darky. So
yeah, it's football banter. Wade, I know he's talking about. Right. You know, Wade's a good kid. He's a good kid. He's got. Wade,
well, I was actually talking more of Julia. There we go. Julie is our lady that does all that.
She's the lady that messaged on Facebook.
She's got a lot of banter. And no, listen, she's got a heart of gold. She's fantastic. You know, she's part of our A&E team. She's a massive pioneer for charity and doing things and giving something back. And that's the sort of people we have behind the scenes. What I'm saying, that they get unnoticed. And I'll try and mention as much people as I can, or else I'll be here all day. But those are the people that they're the organ grinders that make things work. Without them, like every football club, especially at our level, especially in non-league level as well, without the volunteers and the people behind the scenes, like your good self and, you know, having this show as well, you know, people will not be able to find this information anywhere else unless they're going online. But listening to a show like today, you know, there's a lot of people that have learned a lot more about Ryman football than they would have known from before. And that's why things like this, and I know you're looking for people, and I am going to come and pioneer for you as well and get you some sponsors, because we need more of this community radio stations to be heard and seen. Very, very important, because you do fantastic things. But, you know, people like her, and those are the people that I like to surround myself with.
Yeah.
Those type, like Keith, you know. Keith, and, you know, I know Keith as, you know, as an opponent's manager, obviously, when I was at Chesnut and he was at Thames with me. But, you know, but I know what he's about. And those are the types of people that I like putting my... And I always say to people, surround yourself with like-minded and positive people.
I mean, I saw one of the Heather's pictures, and I haven't seen him since, but he looked like Wade got nutmeg for one of the goals.
Yeah, he did. I can see him winding him up again. You know, he's a good goalkeeper, to be fair to him. I think if he took football more seriously, he could do all right. He's a decent goalkeeper. And that's all I can say, really. Again, he did well. It was, as I said, it was really a friendly game. It wasn't even about the result. The most important thing was, really and truthfully, because I changed the goalkeeper when we was winning comfortably, as they all know, and I know you're listening. So we changed the goalkeeper. We put Winston in goal, who can't play in goal, and I know he's listening. So Winston, you know, and I know the truth, but you're a great pioneer, and he was on Big Brother just recently, gone as well. So that's what I'm saying about, we brought the people for the fans as well, who they want to see. So he went and go and let in a couple, and then made the game a draw.
So do you now then, I mean, I suppose as with Yola United, do you sort of really sort of look, I know you're a busy man and stuff, but do you get to that situation now where you're sort of looking at programmes like Big Brother and Britain's Got Talent and X Factor and the likes of The Voice and stuff like that, where you look at people on there and think, oh, I could get hold of him and see if he does?
No, that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. We bring them in, especially for the events, because it's no good us going to Thamesmead or coming to Harlow going, okay, you know, we could put an event for you with the latest people, and they don't turn up. And that's happened many a times where people are advertising or false advertising. People that are going to turn up. But because I've been in the circle and because I know all of these people, if they give me their word, they're going
to
be there.
And as you said, they've got to have that passion to do it.
And they've got to have the same mindset. If they don't have the same mindset, they're not turning up, and we're not going to talk about them. And they've got to also be able to sort of play football to a certain point.
So is the football thing going to happen every week now? Or is just some people come up to you?
I think at the minute we're going month by month. Okay. Yeah, I think it's because the key thing is to build awareness. We've got a lot of filming that we still got to do as well. Like, you know, the changing room banter and stuff like that, training. Yeah. So we've got all of that. where we're filming training. So everything we do is getting filmed, like your daughter would have seen. You know, we've got the cameras everywhere, in the change room, wherever. So, yeah, it's going to be massive. And as I said, we're in its infancy, as they say, yeah. But it's going to be massive. And I think for anybody that likes reality TV, this is going to be something that they will enjoy, especially from the banter, the realism, especially that's one of the biggest things. That is, it's not staged, yeah. It's not scripted, yeah. It is what it is, you know. And as a manager, if you watch it yourself, Keith, you're going to be like, yeah, would, you know, you would have been like, yeah, he needs to get told about that. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You know, where the goalkeeper's rolling it out, someone's trying to dribble from the back, you're like, you've got two choices, haven't you? Either go into midfield or that ball goes into the area. Pretty simple, really. Yeah. So that's what happens.
I mean, am I right in saying, what was you involved with Celeb FC as well?
That's correct, yeah. And I had a fantastic time doing that. I think it was really, really good. I think for them, they do things different to how we do it. Because, you know, they are only charity-based. And they also do things for nothing.
Yeah.
And Corinne Flower's doing fantastic there. And I really want to give her a mention because, you know, she's a massive advocate for charity. And they're continuing to go on. But we're in a totally different, separate journey to them. And I've decided, obviously, with the people that we're working with, to go on this journey we're doing, as I said, for the community and for grassroots football, because I believe that's missing.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I brought up, I remember you, that I think they was over here once, and there was you were saying about how these sort of stars from the reality shows give back, and they were talking about a certain gentleman, I'll say his name in a minute, but I thought, never heard of him. Who's that guy? And it was a young girl over here. She was in a wheelchair, and the young man was playing football out on the pitch, and he finished at the end. And out of all of the big stars I've seen over the likes of Frank Bruno and Nick Cotton and all these that have been over here playing football before, this guy sort of really sort of took me aback, and I was really sort of, I don't know, it was a fantastic moment, you know.
You're talking about Danny Osborne.
I'm talking about Danny Osborne.
Yeah.
The guy was just, I've never even heard of him. And all of a sudden, this man, mountain of a man, just walks up, and, you know, he's a huge guy. And you think, okay, this guy's probably going to be, no disrespect, up his own backside because of how famous he is and arrogant and this sort of stuff.
He's far from that.
I've never, ever seen anything like it. This guy was so nice. It was unbelievable. He took his shirt off. He signed his shirt. He stood next door to this young girl in the wheelchair, gave her a cuddle. And this girl, well, you know, I think she lost control of all her bodily function. It was just incredible. She just absolutely went bonkers because he, you know, first of all, he's given her the shirt, then he's given her a cuddle when he's bare chested. You know, and this guy's ripped. Do you know what I mean? And it was just incredible. And he just didn't have enough time for everybody. You know, he had time for everybody that was there. Everybody else had gone. Yeah. You know, he was still there signing stuff, talking to people, having his picture taken with him. And it was fantastic.
And that's the key thing, that exactly what we do is exactly that thing. We're saying to people, if you sign up to doing this, you have to ensure you are giving something back. It's no good us just turning around saying, which it could be a fantastic chat on radio, oh, we give something back, and then when you turn up and you have a look. It's not that.
Yeah.
I ensure, especially me myself, that that's what's going to happen.
Yep.
If I say this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, opposed to just selling a fake story.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, it's a pointless exercise. And then you wouldn't get booked again after that anyway. So
do you want to tell us a little few of the players that you've got in the teams?
Okay, so I'll go with Derry Mensah. He was on X Factor, so he was a singer. He had a little showmance with Kelly Rowland. Mm-hmm. So anyone that knows, if people watch X Factor, they'll know who he is. He was part of the Risk, obviously. Charlie Healy, he was part of the Risk. Winston from Big Brother, Marlon from Big Brother. Who else have we got that people will recognize that are listening to it now? We have, I'm just thinking of who else, another Big Brother person, obviously, is Victor. Everybody knows who he is. And then we've got like ex professional football players and ex-semi-professional football players as well, tied in. I'm only saying those names for now because there's different people that will be, but they're the core people that people will know and that they will know of. So, and Danny Whisker, who was on Girlfriends, he was, he used to play for Margate as well.
Yeah, I know.
So, a very good player.
Which I know Danny well.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Whisker. Tried to sign him a few times, yeah.
Good,
tell you that.
Good centre midfield player.
Very good. He couldn't play because he said of his work. So,
that's what he's done. Yeah, he does that. He does modelling. So, Danny, fantastic. And he's been on a lot of different reality shows as well. And obviously now he's doing ours. You said you are, so you're doing it now. he played. Your daughter saw him as well. That's just a few of the names. I can reel off all of the names. Some people won't know some people and some people will. But as we spoke about before, it's about who is also current. Those people will then fit in according to plan. Oh, Lewis Clay, who was on The Voice as well. So he's someone that people would know. Mm-hmm. MC Charmer, he's well known as well. So
next game, when's the next game?
The next game, because your daughter's coming to our training session. That's obviously getting filmed. She's taking pictures for that. But the next game is going to be in April. But I don't know where it's going to be because we've actually got four people that won us. So it's like, yeah, we can't really fit ourselves that thin. So we have to really look at what the cause is and stuff like that, really. Mm. And because we don't ever want to let anybody down. So we're just saying to people, if they want to put things back, it's just about working around people's timetables and seeing what we can do, really and truthfully.
Okay. If we can move on, if that's all right with you.
Anything you want, of course.
So, I mean, talk to us a little bit about your Kick It Out ambassador.
Yeah, listen, that for me is about, it's again about giving something back, where it's me talking about equality, diversity, saying if you believe in yourself, then you can achieve anything in this world. And I truly do believe that. So we are trying to give the next generation, it doesn't matter their race or creed. What we're saying is it doesn't matter who you are, because there's a lot of talk about there's a lack of black coaches, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And we're saying to those coaches, well, look, put yourself in a shop window, do the courses, do whatever. So it's not just us, you know, beating the drum down, turning around and saying, okay, you know what, let's just be rogue about the situation. It's not about, okay, let's do the right things. You now need to start thinking, well, apply for that job. Mm. Put yourself in that forefront. Don't expect, because people sometimes expect, because of their status, that they're going to get the phone call. And you know, Keith, and I especially know, you've got to apply for that job and get a no.
Yep.
But then you've got to bounce back from the no. You can't say, oh, it's because of my skin colour.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're educating in that aspect. Mm. So I want people to understand that it isn't where they see Kick It Out. It's like, oh, yes, you know, you're getting everybody just talking about black people are feeling hard done by. No, not at all. What we're saying as pioneers for Kick It Out is believe in yourself, keep knocking on the door, keep knocking on the door. Like we've just now seen with Chris Ramsey, he has the opportunity to be at QPR. And he's got that because he's a FIFA pro licensed coach.
Well, he's good at his job.
He knows his stuff. So he's been given the chance. So what we're saying is have the belief, keep doing what you have to do. Yes, there's obstacles. Yes, there's hurdles, but don't make excuses.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, because as I said, listen, I'm one of the youngest to do a lot of the things. You know, I managed Clapton at the age of 21 and there was in Ryman 2 at the time. Mm. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So that my colour had nothing to do with that then, did it?
No, of course.
Out of all due respect. So what I'm saying to people and why I've been selected, hopefully that is the real reason why I've been selected, was for that sheer factor that I had that, you know, I believe in myself. I did the badges that I had to do and the qualifications that you needed to do, had the experience, played at good levels, played under good managers. And, you know, you coach the right way, as you do, Keith, and you've been successful. So you know exactly what I'm saying. So, you know, for me, with the Kick It Out situation, we are just pioneering for all discrimination, equality, sexism. So we're saying as well, the women's game, promoting that, trying to say, you know, giving women an opportunity within football. If they've got the skills and ability, that's where they should be defined. If they've got the qualifications, got the skills and abilities, give them the opportunity.
That's right. Are you working with Paul Mortimer on that?
Yes.
Me and Mort are mates. Obviously, he was the Cheltenham ladies manager when Thamesmead, and we'll tell you, he's took a massive role into that now.
Yeah,
and,
no, he's doing fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I was not with him too long ago as well, and was talking about the things, and he's going down doing the education at football clubs.
Yeah,
so at
that's right. Day. He's doing that. And just very similar to what Gordon was saying, before, another person, an ex-pro, that is so passionate about giving something back.
100%.
You know, I watched him coach and manage Charlton ladies, and like I said, we got close, and the respect and what he gave them. He wasn't like, oh, girls, you know, I was a pro footballer, and it gave him a bit of banter, but all he was dedicated was to get the best out of these girls. And I know he's got a lot of sort of love for them still and what he's done, but just what I've seen him do since he's left, his passion and that has just come straight through, and he's very passionate about doing what the same as you're doing at the moment.
Of course, no, and we have a lot of advocates and pioneers that are exactly the same, like Troy Townsend at the minute is doing really fantastic things. He's now got his own show on Sports Tonight. So look, I've mentioned it for you now. You can pay me later. But at the end of the day, so he's doing fantastic things. So what we're saying is, when it comes back to the Kick It Out thing, it's that we are just trying to build confidence, no matter what your creed. That is the key
thing. Do you think with that, Gorn, that a lot of clubs or a lot of people have actually embraced Kick It Out?
I think it's been very, very difficult. I think because it started off as a black people need the opportunity, black people or ethnic people need the opportunity.
It was sort of thrown down your face a little bit. It was like...
Yeah, so what has happened, we've now got Rasheen Woods, who actually isn't black. She's the chief executive of the organisation. Mm. And she's brought in the other elements to say, look, let's... And she's Irish, so she's turned around and said, you know, I get abused for...
being a woman,
head of an organisation that was predominantly ethnic, as people would say. But she's gone in there, she's got a fantastic team, and they're a small team of people that are pioneering, and that's why they get us ambassadors just to be part of it. Just to go out there and pioneer and say, look, we are trying to fight all causes of discrimination.
Yeah, especially it's like not just one thing.
It's not just one thing. You know, anti-Semitism,
bullying, homophobia, everything.
Every single thing that you could think of, that's what Kick It Out now does.
Yeah, because at the beginning, I think, not that it didn't work, because it did, but it was sort of thrown down your face a little bit, and it was like, whoa. But now, when you're seeing, obviously, in the way you're explaining it, and you do see more, that, you know, it's I think it's making quite a massive impact now. And people are actually opening the doors to let people come in, like the football clubs, they're letting them come and teach. It's put over in a better way.
Yeah, and that's been the key thing, which I'm saying with everybody that's there, and obviously Lord Herman Hoosley, he's said that, because the key thing was, let us show people what we are about. Mm. We are about giving people the opportunity and giving people the confidence. Yeah. And yeah, there is a lack of black managers within the game and coaches due to their own also personal preference.
Yeah.
They also believe the likes of Alan Shearer got the job. I'll give you an example. Alan Shearer, top player, got the Newcastle job with no qualifications. He was a caretaker, but he was the right person for Newcastle at the time. That's all it boils down to.
But as a manager, and I know, especially coming from Thamesmead, is that you don't get a black player and think, well, I'm not signing him. Majority of, especially Thamesmead players, were black. It's just like, well, he's wanted. So as they come through, and I'd say there's obviously been an increase of black people playing sort of football that will give them more of a chance. They're going to come through the ranks. It's going to be a natural progression.
What we're saying, that time is going to come. But, you know, and there are still some certain clubs that obviously some...
You're going to get that all over the world.
You're going to get that. And you're going to get some small-minded people or some ignorant people that are like, no, I would prefer whatever. But that doesn't matter. Yep. I'm saying to people, show people by your skills and ability. Yep. Have the opportunity. Now they're bringing this rule in place, the Rooney rule. When you go on the table, you give it your best then. If that's the thing that you need, then great. But at the end of the day, I've said from my own personal point of view, all my successes and all my achievements has come off the back of my own dedication. I didn't ever once go in and talk about what race I spoke about, what I've achieved as a coach, as a manager, whatever else. You know, when I was at chief executive at Histon, it had nothing to do with, at the end of the day, we want to have someone that is of ethnic background being our chief exec. They didn't say that.
No,
they turned around and said, he's the best person to help us get out of this situation.
So basically, instead of sort of just giving someone a book and saying, read that, you're just telling them the story and they learn more.
We're telling them the story. We're telling them, give yourself a chance, apply, take the knockbacks.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying, because there's obstacles. It doesn't matter what job you do. We've all gone for jobs and we've not got it. Mm. Sometimes you've not got it because of your age and stuff like that, but we're trying to educate employers as well to say...
But you're never going to get it if you don't apply.
Exactly that. Apply for it. And some people go, I've applied for it. I've got all the qualifications. Still nothing's going. Keep going. Keep knocking the door. Keep knocking the door, because eventually your chance is going to come. But when you get your chance, you've got to take it.
100%
You've got to take your chance.
Yeah. But, I mean, one of the things you spoke on earlier there, I mean, for me, it's always been my sort of bugbear around it all, is the fact that you look at it and you think, well, the price of these licences as you go up.
So you can get level very one, expensive. Level two. It's madness.
All we hear about is that we haven't got this amount of, A coaches, FIFA coaches, this coach, that coach, this coach. Well, why haven't we got it? Why are we not looking into the fact of, you know, it's not creed, colour or anything like that. I personally think it's down to the fact of, look at the prices when you compare it to anywhere else.
It's that as well, and I can only talk about my own experience with this, okay? One is also the time it takes, and obviously if you're a pro footballer, you get fast-tracked a little bit different, and it's different. But for me, and there are going to be people listening here that's going to laugh. I don't like being told what to do as actually in black and white. Okay, when you start doing these coaching badges, they give you a book.
And you have to go coach from the book.
And you coach from that book. And now I had a phase of play and it was playing out from the back.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got up in front of everyone and at the time, my team was playing three at the back. Okay, so I started putting on the ball, three at the back, let's start playing. The coach stopped me and went, what are you doing? I went, well, I'm playing out the back. He went, the book says you have to play 4-4-2. I said, well, the book ain't putting my team top of the league like it is at the moment. I went, how can football change if you're telling a coach how to coach? Because in games, football changes. At the moment, it's 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 or whatever. As for me, the FA and always have to go and look at a coach individually and see how he can change a game, how he can coach and bring it across, as we said, about the life skills and people skills earlier. That is why it will never change. And that is why, like I said, I can't sit there and go, well, that's right. Because everything in that book, people go and say, yeah, but just do it and pass. Well, how good's that? It's like giving someone the exams results and just going, well, that's going to get you somewhere. But when they go into a job, they ain't going to know what they're doing. And I've got a big, strong belief in this. And like I said, I think they've changed at the time. They were giving level ones out to anybody just to take the money. You know, it's babysitting. They're letting people go in schools now, which are local, you know, to what I know, that haven't got a clue about coaching a kid. And they're playing games like had. That's not coaching your kids.
Then
you go up and go up. And like I said, the money is a big issue. There's a hell of a lot of people out there that are good coaches that can't afford to. And, you know, we can keep going on about, and I'm sure it's going to be mentioned about the TV money and all that. All them coaching badges should be paid for. But it's something, like I said, until it's not out of that book, it needs to change.
Yeah, you've got to coach by experience. You've got to coach by what the situation is at the time. I think, you know, I've always said that. And I've always coached like that as well, because you can't stand on the sideline when things are going wrong and go, well, the book says this. Mm. You can't do that. It doesn't happen. You've got to change the game as you see fit. Yep. Sometimes you may have to do things unorthodox to win the game.
Yeah.
And we've seen at the top level, managers are losing their jobs every week. Literally. That has nothing to do with the book. That comes down to the pressure. And these courses don't teach you about the pressure.
Yeah.
You have to deal with the pressure at the time.
Mm. It also comes down to dodgy knees as well when you lose your job.
or dodgy refs.
Yeah, and that does happen. But, you know, yeah. But touching on that, but that's what I hope today I've cleared up a lot about what Kick It Out Now does, because I think there's been so much talk and I want a lot of people to get behind the cause and support it, because, you know, there's a lot of funding that's going by the wayside for them that they actually need to make their point go across, because we've got to look at our next generation, because that's the most important thing. Yeah. Our kids, the next generation, they're the ones that are now coming up, and we want to give them the best possible chance to believe in what they're trying to go for, because, you know, there's a lot of talk about what am I going to do? People getting depressed, people committing. So there's so much going on, which is massive now at the minute, and I think a lot of people are losing sight of that.
Mm. We've had one tweet from somebody and a text, so we'll just read these out if we can. So the tweet is from the Line Dancing Champion of Essex, and if anybody out there doesn't know who that is, that's Mr. Ray Dyer. Does like his line dancing, so he's just tuned in. But we've also had an email as well from Anthony Mercer from Tilbury, and he's actually said, I have listened to the show tonight, and I think you've made the signing of the season with Keith in the studio. The man has taught common sense and has shown how... has excellent knowledge of all three divisions. I hope Keith is back in the game soon.
Well, I hope a few people are listening to that, Chairman, and whatever, but you've got to wait, haven't you? Like I said to you last, I've never been in this situation, and I want to get back straight away. It was funny, I went to a game every week, and they went, oh, I've heard you want to rest. When you're a footballer, when you're passionate, you don't want to rest.
Nah, there's no rest.
You know, you're sitting there going, oh, just get me in. So, nice comments, I appreciate that, and hopefully we'll be soon.
Yeah. One question before we go to the news. What is your... Gordon, your sort of feelings with around sort of, I know it's not very long to talk about it, but with Clark Carlisle and what's happened to him in the last...
Yeah, Clark, obviously I know, which everybody knows, I do know him because he's part of our Kick It Out and he's one of our key ambassadors. I think one of the key things there is, you can say it's sad, but what it highlights here is you don't always know people's situations.
Yeah.
You don't really know their situations, because all he knew was playing. Monday to Friday, training, obviously a game on the weekend or game in midweek. And then that continuation of still doing that and being PFA chairman. So where he's now come to the other element, where he's doing obviously the punditry side of things, which he was enjoying, it wasn't enough for him as an individual, clearly. And what that shows, which I've always said to people with the Life After Football project that I'm also doing off the back of all of this, so I don't know how I fit it all in, but I do, I make time for it, is the fact that we're saying there has to be a backup plan. You need to speak to more players, which the PFA now know about it. You need to find out what they're going to do and how people are feeling, because this comes back to the people management side of things, where you're speaking to people because you need to understand what makes people tick. And if you can't get them involved in something, you have to be able to offer them something else, because all the professional players pay into the PFA. That's the thing that they do. So they have to have a backup route after they finish, which has to be compulsory, because then they get lost when they come into the real world. And I had that when I was playing and I came out and I had to find a real job. I was like, wow. And I was just about to sign for Charlton in the Premier League at the time. And then I snapped both my hamstrings. So at that time, I was like, well, what am I going to do? Number one, I'm not going to pass the medical at any football league club. You can go and play non-league, but you don't get looked after the same way as you would at a football league club. So you have to find a job and go through that process. So now it's all about capturing, especially let's talk about the youngsters, what's going to happen to them, as well as the experienced players. Because if they're at the top level, they've got enough money to set themselves up. But it's the players that are coming from your division, your League Ones, your League Twos. What's going to happen to them? And they're the ones that fall by the wayside, or the boys that don't get the pro. What happens to them? So we need to find...
That thing for me has always been a big thing. The lads that, you know, all these scouts go and take and they think they're going to be pro footballer and whatever, and then the clubs just sort of push them aside. It's normally the non-league clubs that get them.
And pick them up.
But they don't see how distraught these lads are. Correct. Because they think they're going to be the next David Beckham.
They do.
And they're told and they're treated that way. And to be fair, they don't get let down lightly either. You know, it's not, well, it's just... not good enough.
You're not going to make it.
And you're not going to make it. And which, okay, it's something you need to bounce back for. But there is no contingency plan for these people. And it is only, obviously, people like ourselves that try and get hold of them. But, you know, you are right. The ones in Div 2 and Div 1 that aren't even known and they don't get their contract renewed and things like that, it's, you know, it's the end of the world for them, because they haven't got that money to back them up anyway.
Exactly that. And obviously, just before we go, because I know we have to go to a break, it's just really just saying that at the end of the day, this is people's lives we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is people's lives. And if someone feels that they've got to that point where they want to end their life, that is a very, very serious matter.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, clock's on the mend and things are happening for him. And I'm sure, you know, things are going to work well for him. And I'm looking forward to seeing him soon.
And it is one, I suppose, with that sort of side of it, you know, there's people out there that you just never expected. Or when you see them on the TV and you hear them on the radio, even like so someone like a Gary Speed, you just didn't even see it.
Yeah.
You don't even see it coming. And when it does happen, it's like a bang. It's like, a, you know,
well, I said, David, I'm not going to mention any names, and I know they're not listening, but a very good friend of mine, he'd come out of, it was non-league football, and I'm not going to say manager or whatever, playing, exactly the same thing. And I only found out a few weeks ago. I knew there was something wrong, but he actually did try and go that full extent. And you sit there and look at him and go, wow.
Yeah.
Has that happened? And you know, it does become an illness.
And that is what it is. It's called a disease. And sometimes there's nothing. And if you don't catch it early enough, it's too late.
You know, you hide everything away from your family and everything. And
bang, Well, we're going to leave you with some messages. And when we come back, we're going to have his return to the show. And, of course, he's also his return to management as well. We'll be.